I don't think that made it into the podcast.
Oh. We'll edit that out. Edit it out in post.
Honestly, that sounded like a wet fart, so we don't need that.
Now it's staying in, I guess. All right. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Star Spangled Eurovision. My name is Max. I am here with my lovely co-hosts, Alex and Bart.
Hello.
Hola.
And we actually have a very special guest today, which doesn't happen very often. Alex, I'll let you introduce her.
This is my friend, Corinne. She's amazing. Hi, Corinne.
Hello.
Hi, Corinne.
Hi.
What's your favorite Eurovision song?
I forget the year, but it's Satellite by Lena. Whoa. Representing Germany. This was a while ago.
A classic.
So, honestly, that was probably the top of Germany's reign in Eurovision.
I mean, they did win. So,
like, quite literally.
Quite literally, they...
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, like, after that, like, they haven't been doing great as...
I mean, even if they had done anything, they still haven't won, so that's not a great baseline.
Okay, well, you know what, guys? I was just trying to create some conversation.
And you did.
Mark,
congrats.
You're trying to put your friend Corinne down. I'm trying to support her choices.
That's so true.
Like a satellite. Okay, no.
Okay, we are excited to have Corinne here because... You are, from my understanding, not a huge Eurovision fan.
That sounds negative. I do like Eurovision. I just haven't been following very closely.
I think what we're trying to say, she's not in the bubble.
Eurovision fucking sucks. I can't believe I'm fucking here right now.
Okay. She's like, I'm here to check all you bitches. Keep you in line.
You're saying these songs are good. I know what actual talent is. Like, that is why she's our quality control queen.
Exactly. Well, we have a very interesting week this week, so I'm curious to hear what someone outside the Eurovision bubble will have to say about these songs.
What the QCQ has to say.
QCQ.
Quality Control Queen.
Oh, duh. Okay, sorry.
That's such a great title. I'll take it.
All right. Well, today we'll be going over this year's Eurovision entries from San Marino, Croatia, Switzerland, and the Netherlands. So like I said, a bit of a crazy week. Excited to get into it.
Every week is crazy these days.
I have to drink myself into oblivion just to get by.
Dave, don't say that on tape.
All of work now knows about this podcast. So sorry.
Wait, are you serious? Can you cut that out?
Well, for legal purposes, Alex is joking.
I am so joking.
We take on character personas on this podcast.
We're not actually like that.
Max, I knew I should never help you, like, get a job where I work. This is just, see, now it's not working.
You knew I would come in and tell everyone.
Max, what's our first song?
So let us move on to San Marino, another perpetual stand country for us.
Our favorite country of all time.
So the winner of Una Voce for San Marino was actually the Spanish band Megara, who competed in Benidorm Fest last year, which is funny because Nebulosa competed in San Marino's national competition last year but didn't win.
Okay, but so, literally everyone and their mom competed last year for San Marino's
and
spot.
This year too, actually.
So was it the same contest format?
I think so.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, this is Megara with 11-11, or in Spanish, Once Once. Take a listen.
Ooh, look at you, bilingual.
I literally asked Corinne earlier.
The quality control queen.
Quality control.
All right, this is Megara with 11-11. Tengo roto el corazón, pero es algo irónico, nada romántico. Una herida entre los dos, sé que suena trágico, pero no. Por estar en de perder el tiempo, buscando mis venas. Sé que no hay nada que hacer, pero sé quién es, por favor, sé que lo. You know what? I'm going to say it. I like this, actually.
course you do.
This takes me back to high school. Like, I don't know.
Like, were you in this band?
No, but this, like, is kind of the stuff I did listen to. Like, maybe a bit more Hot Topic if I had been my normal fare. But, listen, it's kind of like dancey pop metal, a little bit of industrial in there.
How is it metal, other than the fact that Skeletor was... It was not metal at all.
Heavy guitars in there. They're pretty heavy.
Is it heavy?
I mean, it's, like, melodic and poppy, but... Yeah, it verges on metal for sure.
There was a part towards the middle end that I heard some Spanish guitars. Was that?
Yeah, the little like flamenco spooky bridge in there.
Yeah, I did not expect that, so I really enjoyed that.
Okay, cool.
I mean, okay, I think this appeals to the furry crowd because we got some furry skeletons going on. I think this gave very like Avril Lavigne dipped in a vat of acid and, like, taken out, and then, like, you know, like, Ursula stole her voice and then gave it back again, and then this is kind of what that turned out to be. And, I mean, there needs to be room for everything in every context. Yeah.
Alright.
I don't know if I liked it. I don't know if I didn't like it.
Baby, you don't have to like it. They went through hundreds of performers and found, like, some truly unlistenable song at the end of the process. And I was gonna try to be nice because people tell me I come off as mean, but Max liked it. So now I can dunk on him. Megara.
What else is
which
new?
I feel better about. Yeah, I don't... This is not for me. I just, like...
Theme of this year.
Honestly,
Bart, didn't it kind of give you
a little bit of, like, a group in high school that formed a band that knew, like, six chords and were like, we're going to try this out.
Those were Max's friends.
You joke, but literally?
Yes.
Literally?
Oh, my God.
I'm not trying to act like I was a head quarterback in high school, but I was not listening to this.
I feel like this is the year of me being like, oh yeah, like, finally going back to my roots, and Bart's like, I fucking hate it.
But, I mean, also, Max, you just have to think to yourself, do you actually want to go back to your roots? Because, like, stories of your heyday are just, like, not as exciting.
Wow.
Your high school days are just not, you know, like...
Don't say that. You don't know me. You don't know my life.
Oh, I know you. This is not it, girl. This is not it.
I'm glad that...
Corinne, is this it? The quality control queen.
Okay,
is
I would like
it?
To hear Corinne's opinion on this.
I think it was a miss, honestly. It could have been a little better, you know, developed. The vocals could have been a little clearer. The melodies were kind of there, but it was a little bit mishmash. But you know what?
But don't you feel like you've heard the melody before?
Yes. Yes,
I mean,
I will
this
say
is Eurovision. That's usually the case.
But a question, is anyone else doing it like her, you know?
This year?
She is kind of
Kinda.
I do kind of love her as a person. Yeah.
I mean, she looks like Xena Warrior Princess, and am I attracted to her? 100%. Like, I would love to take her on a date, and if she listens to this podcast, 12 points, babe. But,
this
like, let's
persona.
Face it, she's not listening to this podcast. We're not gonna date. I'm gonna go ahead and be honest. This ain't really it.
Okay. That seems like a definitive statement
from all the haters. This really is the year of the witch and the year of the twink.
Oh my God.
All right, let us move on to Croatia, who is sending Baby Lasagna with the song Rin Tin Tuggy Din. The noise wanna become one of them city boys. They're all so pretty and so advanced. Maybe they also know where dance. Bye, mom, bye, dad. Meow cat, please meow back. Don't cry, just dance. Tin tuggy diggy din din din. There's no going back. repeat of the last conversation where I'm like, this is great. I love it so much. And everyone else is like, that was the shittiest thing I've ever heard. No, I do actually really love this. Like, I don't know if I'm as obsessed with it as some people in the fandom, but I think it's fun. I think it's just, it's something different from Croatia for sure. It's got a good story behind it. I think he's
What's the story?
It's about a person having to leave his home and immigrate somewhere else, but he's going to miss it, but he's excited about his new adventure, and he's anxious about it. It's like a whole thing. You weren't listening.
No, I was looking at the dancing cats.
Exactly. Which is fun. It's fun. I don't know.
Okay, is the only person who can relate to this experience is someone who did immigrate? I don't know
if
that
works. You moved from the Bronx to Denmark.
Not the same.
It's about moving from rural Croatia to, like, London.
From Denmark to Texas, arguably really rough, or Tennessee. Like, that shit is hard, okay? Well, both, whatever. Doesn't matter. All I'm saying is this is not reflective of my experience. Like, when I close my eyes at night and think about, like, my life story, this is not the song that portrays it.
Well, it's not about the general immigrant experience.
What is it about?
Okay, we need to, okay, we need to move on. Conversation.
I like it.
I don't hate it, but I have a lot of opinions that I'm about to share with you guys. Okay, here's talking about the song, actually, is that Alex is going to like it when she hears the studio version. I will, like, put money on it now. And my issue is that when this song came out, for the record, good chance of winning, very popular with the fandom, swept Croatia's televote, and I think one jury.
But it won the jury, and then...
One jury and landslided televote.
Yeah.
If you watch the studio version and the music video, this hits, a really perfect note. The music video is very well produced.
Mm-hmm.
It really gets the story across about, like... He's from a rural area, like, he's talked in interviews about how, like, he's usually from, like, a small town and sees everyone leaving to go to the cities or go to international jobs, and how, like, it's like you're leaving everything you know behind. The Rintim Dagidim is supposed to be, like, a traditional Croatian song, so the lyrics are, Croatian dance, so the lyrics about, like, let's do one last traditional dance before I go make money, and about, like, brain drain and everything like that. With all that said, I hate every aspect of the live performance. I think, like, the choreography is bad. I think that, like, the neon cats and animals are bad. But mostly, like, for me, this song hinges on, like, everyone's comparing this to Karia and Cha-Cha-Cha, which I think is not fair in a lot of ways. But, you know, one thing that is underrated about Karia is that he nailed the vocals every time he went on stage.
Mm.
And Baby Lasagna does the verses okay, and his voice sounds rough on the chorus. And, like, when you listen to it on the studio version, it's, like, much more melodic, much more beautiful. Like, it's a really good vocal. And live, what it sounds like, it comes across as too hoarse, too metally, and just, like, not as good. And then for me, like, if you don't have that mainstream hook, it, like, falls apart.
So I'm going to let Corinne jump in, but I'll say that based on Bart's description, if he came out and, like, gave a prelude to the song, I would totally give it points. Like your description has me in tears. The song had me thinking, what?
Which I will say, I think the fandom saw the music video first, and the music video conveys that story much better than the live performance does.
That's true.
And I think everyone, like, decided that he was the new internet boyfriend of the Eurovision bubble, which is why Corinne needs to keep us in check.
Because he's definitely my Eurovision boyfriend for this year.
But sorry, like, I feel like they're still in the shadow of that, and people are like, he's acknowledged his vocals weren't up to snuff, and he's, like, working on improving it. I'm skeptical on whether they can pull it together, but let's hear. What do you think, Corinne?
Okay, yeah, quality control queen.
Yes!
Kissy cute!
So between hit or miss, which is just my binary vote, I'd go more towards hit because at least the melody and, you know, the vocals are pretty memorable. It's still in my head. And also for the performance, I know you said that it wasn't probably the best representation of the song, but it did look on stage like they were having fun, which, you know, makes the crowd have a lot of fun. So I'll give them points for that. I don't know why you guys are giving points, but there's my points.
I have some points. Just to wait, you will give points in our
jury
vote.
TBD.
TBD.
Sorry, what's the word? We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. But okay, so to close that off, yeah, it's not usually a genre that I listen to, but if I were to listen to that again, I would be happy about that.
I mean, speaking of genre, like, this is also kind of, like, metal adjacent, so it's right up my alley. So, there's a lot of reasons why I love this, and I agree with you, Bart. I think the studio version's a lot better. The music video, I think, is phenomenal. The staging, I do think it's really fun. I think there's a lot of editing that could be done for sure. I don't really like the outfit with the giant sleeves. I don't think it really works. So, I understand it's a play on, like, a traditional Istrian outfit, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't think it looks that great, and it's inviting a lot of comparisons to Caria.
But also, Max, I think that you nailed the description. Like, it's metal adjacent.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And I think the other one, too, was, like, it had, like, the adjacent.
I think that one was more, like, actual hard rock, whereas I think he is just taking a lot of inspiration from metal, but it's also mostly electronic. But I think this is great. I don't know if it's my, like, 12 points. I don't know if I see this even winning. I think it's very odd to me that this is, you know, top of the odds, because it doesn't feel like a Eurovision winner to me, but this is a really wacky year, so I guess we really have no idea. It's also catchy, yeah. Like you said, like, that melody sticks in your head.
Yeah.
Or that hook sticks in your head. So, I mean, I like that Croatia's also, you know, kind of going out of the box. They did last year with Let 3. They're going kind of wacky this year, too. So, and, like, it's got the love of the whole country behind it, so that's what's most important to me, too. So let us move on to our next song. We are going over to Switzerland.
Let's
where
go.
We have Nemo singing The Code. Let's take a listen. I'm so psyched, it's bigger than me. I'm getting so hyped like, let me taste the lows and highs. Let me feel that burning fright.
Between the O's and ones, that's where I found my kingdom come. My heart beats like a somewhere between the O's and ones. That's where I found my kingdom come.
Like, I thought the build-up was really good. Like, he has a good voice. I'd love to hear it. I would love to hear it live to see if they can reach those chords. But honestly, this is, like, a solid song between they reach the lower chords, the higher chords. It has a really good, like, techno build-up. Like, you want to dance to it. You're not sure quite where it's going. And, like, their personality just, like, freaking carries, at least in that music video, in terms of, like, the transitions of, like, the attire. Clearly, like, they do take themselves seriously as an artist, but in terms of their art, like, they're not afraid to, like, put themselves out there and be, like, a little bit more outrageous. So I'm really excited to see what this is going to look like during the rehearsal, at least. But I also think that it's no surprise, like, looking back, I've always kind of, like, felt like Switzerland has a lot of talent. Like, their biggest flaw is they sometimes, like, overperform in this staging. But this song is definitely, definitely a really good one. I just love to see what the staging is going to look like.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think this is, it's really fantastic. It's really kind of a big risk for Switzerland in a way. Like, I don't even want to call it a risk as much as I'm like, it's really just a step out there and, like, a really big thing to send in a way. And I think the staging is really going to decide how well this does, because I feel like if they, it's going to be walking a really fine line between, like, really elevated, a la, like, John's Tears from a couple years ago, or, like, stepping one step too far into just, like, it's a tacky mess.
So, just to lean on that, though, because I felt like, I mean, this isn't the first time that we've had kind of a stagecoach setup, right? I mean, Romania did that last year,
Moldova.
Right? Sorry, Moldova. Moldova did that last year. Oh, my God, I'm sold. 2 years ago, Moldova did that. It was, like, a phenomenal performance on stage, though, right?
Yeah.
Where now we're looking at the song, we're feeling the same way. Like, the song is strong. The music video is strong. Can you carry it? Do you think that if it had a similar type of staging, that's a little bit chaotic, but still stays very true to the roots of the voice, that it could carry?
I mean, yeah, I think if they actually, you know, there's a universe where they nail this and it does extremely well, if not just fully wins the competition. I think it's one of those songs that has really the potential to win. It's one of the few songs this year, I think, in addition to Ukraine, that actually gives me winner vibes if they stage it correctly. And just because we only have a music video, we have really no concept of what it's going to look like on stage.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I
or just, how he does it live, how they do it live, how they
just
do it live.
As a song, I think it's fantastic. I think it's mixing so many genres. I think Nima's a fantastic performer. They're obviously very creative. I haven't actually looked into whether or not they can do that kind of vocal, but I'm sure they can if so much of the song is that kind of vocal. So
you'd be
we'll
surprised.
See. TBD, but I'll let Bart go. I know he has a lot of thoughts on this one.
I would say there's always one song each season that I just like I need to do a deep dive on this song, and this is it for me. This is my fucking winner. 12 points. I think this is amazing. And I fully convinced myself it's gonna win, so I'm gonna lay out my case for that right now. Yeah, I think that everything about this is amazing. We talk about me and Mex's high school experiences a lot for some reason, but mine was very drum and bass heavy.
Gay trauma.
So like a drum and bass Eurovision song about queer trauma and finding yourself is like a dream come true. Absolutely love it. I have a lot of hope, and we think you've all touched on already. I mean, this has to be the most watched song this rehearsal week. So I think people are going to see that first rehearsal and know if it's going to win or not.
Yeah.
If they nail the staging of this, it is going to blow, I think, most things out of the water. The reason why I have faith is that, having now done a deep dive, Nemo does seem to be able to... a very strong performer who seemingly can hit the notes. And my one other contrast is, like, when we saw John's Tears, I was like, there's no way he can hit those notes. It's not going to do well live. And he absolutely blew the vocals out of the water. Mm-hmm. So clearly Switzerland does seem to be screening people for live performance.
Mm-hmm.
I think he will also, rumor is that he will also have backing vocals. They will have backing vocals. Backing vocals to help hit some of the higher notes that might be a little bit out of range
mm-hmm.
otherwise. So that is kind of like some of the theories to help them give the most crisp vocal possible. And Switzerland's just been doing well with staging. Like
mm-hmm.
John's Tears staging was really good. Luca Henny's staging was really good. I forget what else. Like even like Boys Don't Cry was a really boring song, but it was staged well. And just my impression from... I mean, clearly Nemo has, like, a really clear artistic vision, which comes across so well in the music video. I think they have
sure.
to do something totally different from the music video. But I think that they seem to just have, like, a lot of talent. And just based on the rollout and everything, it seems like Switzerland knows they might have a winner on their hands and is going to really invest in them. Or that's my hope, at least.
Yeah.
So I think that the three of us actually agree on this, and that we didn't know that we... all felt this way about this song before we entered. So I'm going to bring it to the QCQ, the Quality Control Queen.
Yes.
What did
you
think?
Where you're like, it's shit,
yeah.
Actually.
Quality Control Queen here. I promise I wasn't influenced by any of these weirdos, total nerds, who can, like, harken back to what country did what song, how many years ago. Love it. But anyway, so I have to say this is a hit for me, too. The just from the video, I mean, what you got? Ammonites, that's fossils. You got zeros and ones, you know, coding, public transit. I'm a stan. even on top of that, not knowing anything about a Nemo or what they do, I just personally love seeing theater kids just live their dreams.
Yes.
And that's the vibe that I'm getting.
I would say, too, I mean, just like, oh God, is it Taya from Austria last year? One of the Austrian performers last year helped like coach the songwriting of this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's very personal to Nemo. It's about like the lyrics are very clearly about
I was gonna say,
them finding their
really...
way to like, you know, I think very tastefully done, but like finding their way out of the binary and like that kind of self-discovery in
yeah,
a way
I mean,
that I think we always want
personal.
That like originality and personal ...ness and a Eurovision winner that I think it has. Yeah.
It brings me to kind of the Duncan Lawrence of it, right? Mm-hmm. Where, like, you have this really personal song. Like, I didn't even know that there were, like, influences of other people in it. So you have that winner quality, but it still has that beat. Like, it's like, listen, like, this is not just a quiet anthem because my life is not quiet. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that we've been seeking. I mean, like, you look at, you know, like, Italy winning with Måneskin, and it's, like, a bit more, like, upbeat, but still feels kind of, like, close to the soul. Or you look, like, this year, even with Tattoo, like, it's still, it feels like Lorraine gives a performance that's, like, super tight to, or the way that she portrays herself is that the song is, like, super tight to like who she is and like what she wants to portray. And this for Switzerland, like if they can carry this off staging wise, it's a perfect blend of the two.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's a song that honestly, yeah, you can put that thick bass on it and we could dance to it in the club, sing the lyrics, have a great time. But also we can listen to it on a walk and or like in our room and reflect on what is actually being said, which is really hard to like get that in between, right? To find that sweet spot between, is this something that I'm just listening to in the club? Is this something I'm just listening to at home? Or is this something that I can honestly just listen to in every context and have a good time?
Yeah. I will say, I think this has what I think is the key to like a really successful Eurovision song is authenticity, right? And we've
yeah.
talked about this. Mm-hmm. It's dripping in authenticity.
Bring
this,
back that white fit.
And this year, there's a, I would say a lot of artists are really being authentic to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So there is like, I would say like Bambi Thug as well and
mm-hmm.
Baby Lasagna. What fun names for
just
everybody.
Names,
now that I say that. Windows
like
95.
Authenticity.
Man,
like
wow.
Baby Thug.
Kayleen gets authentic to me.
But I honestly, it's so hard to have a Eurovision winner with that authenticity. It happens. We know it happens. But I think it's such a key ingredient. So thank you, Switzerland, for giving us this, honestly.
Yeah,
like,
okay. Thank
it
you,
is fantastic. Go, Switzerland. We're
I think
you.
That just based on the four of us here, that this is probably going to be one of those songs that like wins really heavy with us. Like whether or not it actually wins the whole thing,
yeah.
We're not like great predictors on that, or like we're like.
It's
no,
gonna.
The fact that we all love it means that the stage is gonna be horrible. It's gonna like not qualify.
Or it's gonna win our jury again, like Latvia did a couple years ago, and not qualify
yeah,
for the
yeah,
final.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let us move on to our final song of the evening.
Wait,
we,
there's another one.
One more.
Believe it or not, we have one more today. And that is over to the Netherlands, where we have Joost Klein with the song Europapa. Let's take a listen.
Escort goes, hoeft geen vis en chips, hoeft geen paël. Ja, no, ik weet niet eens echt wat dat is. Zet de radio aan, ik hoor Stromae met papa. Oet, hij zal niet stoppen tot ze zeggen ja, ja, dat doet hij goed, hé. Welkom in Europa, blijf hier tot ik dood ga. Europapa, Europapa. Welkom in Europa, blijf hier tot ik dood ga. Europapa, Europapa. Europapa, papa, papa. Welkom in Europa, jongen!
quality control queen here.
QCQ.
QCQ. Yeah, okay. So at first I wasn't quite sure where they were going with that. Yo-ho-pop-pop. Then, you know, it started to really grow on me. I would say that was really fun. I would probably listen to it again. The music video was crazy. It definitely, I wasn't sure where I was going the whole time, but I was enjoying it. And so for the song itself, it seemed to, bring back some memories of like early 2000s, you know, very, heavy, Euro pop. Euro techno? Yeah. Or is that...
It's very happy hardcore, I think.
Like, yeah. Is that, like, a popular sound?
In Europe in the early 2000s, it was.
Yeah, but, it's very, weird. Like, Italo Brothers.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I do feel like we have a lot of that, like, retro 90s, early 2000s techno specifically this year.
We do, yeah.
I think because of the Planet of the Bass, like, viral video. Like, people really went for that. This is not the last song we'll listen to in that vein. It's not the first.
I mean, I know it was a joke, but that shit also slapped. So. Yeah.
I mean, I love this. The song is going multi-platinum in the Euro Club for decades to come. Yeah. Like, this, I don't think this song is going to win, like, but I think it's so fun. I think that, like, there's a story behind it. I mean, the moment it comes in is just kind of crazy. Like, the far-right party in the Netherlands had won the election, like, a couple months beforehand, and then this song comes out for Eurovision that's, like, all about being pro-European and EU. I think, I don't know if it is the highest, no, I don't think it's the most highest streaming song in Eurovision, but it has been, like, quite a streaming hit in the Netherlands and in some other countries in a way that, like, it clearly does connect with people. The last, like, 45 seconds or a minute is just, like, so fun.
So it's, like,
it's hard to leave feeling bad about it.
To feed off of that, though, like, into what Corinne was saying, because, like, you don't necessarily, like look into the context of things. Like, we all went to school to get our degrees in, like,
European studies
for our master's. Like, but the fact that you picked up on kind of this upbeat and, like, I guess my question is, did you catch the, like, emotionality, or did you catch the emotion in the song, even though it kind of brought you back to, like, this 2000s retro, like, pop techno vibe?
Yeah, so most of the time I was thinking, like, this is really fun and it's not really taking itself seriously. And then it kind of ended on a very serious note, and that's when it was like, oh, okay. That hit me, like, in my heart. I think there's something, you know, a little bit more underneath the surface to this, and I really, really like that.
Yeah, it's great that it's, like, it is a very personal song, and I think we were talking about how, like, a lot of these songs this year are personal and very authentic to these artists. I like how it takes it from that personal level, and it's also, like, this kind of pan to European unity and the EU. You know, EU flags are all over this video. You know, the dress is kind of, like, mocking, like, an EU politician, you know. I think it's, I love it. There's just so much going on here, but it's really, like, a love letter to both his parents, to Europe. It's fantastic.
So
it's catchy as fuck.
A Dane who has a Euro papa. I mean, my dad is a Euro papa.
That's actually pretty dearly. Fair, yeah.
Yeah. I thought the song was really beautiful. And I did like the throwback component as well, right? Because it gives us that nostalgia feeling, and kind of similar to what I was saying under the Switzerland vibe is you can listen to this in kind of multiple contexts. I don't think that the emotionality necessarily, like, carries through the whole song as it does in the end when you watch the music video.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that if they can stage it just right, that shock value of the end when you're like, oh, actually this is not just like a fun piece, it's an emotional testament to Europe. If they find a way to do it where it doesn't look overly commercial, because I think that there is a, you know, there's a very thin line between sincerity and commercial when you're talking about the European Union, that it could be great or it could be bad. I think that line is going to determine whether or not they make it into the final or whether or not they're not even considered And don't make it out of the semis.
Yeah.
If they make it out of the semis, I think that that proves a very good point in terms of the way that they staged it and presented it to the audience.
I think he also just pointed out another really interesting layer that just hit me is that that nostalgia is very intentional, like you just said.
Oh, yeah.
In that it's also almost like, you know, the opposite of like, you get those far right parties, they're all nostalgic for like a time pre-European Union, but now that they're the far right's kind of on the ascendancy again, you have folks being nostalgic for like the heyday of the EU. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like such an interesting, almost like subversive way to present that. So yeah, I think I really like the fact that it's kind of nostalgic with a purpose. I would say like something like Windows 95 Man is kind of nostalgic for nostalgia's sake. But
yeah, but I mean, to what you're saying,
the nostalgia is actually, you know, a layer of the song.
To what you're saying, like, we so often hear about nostalgia from our parents. We don't hear about nostalgia from our generation, like the millennial nostalgia for what it was in the mid-90s and kind of the exciting prospect of European unity, mm-hmm. the exciting prospect of the Schengen and being able to travel places. Like, that's not necessarily something that us in this room who are, like, in our 30s were able to discover, right? Like, or not know because we were too young to really understand it. So this song is kind of an homage to that. Whereas if you are even a little bit older before that area, that wasn't something that you got to explore. So, I mean, kudos to that. But it also, I think, makes all of us on this podcast feel a little bit old. They were like, oh, the heyday. It's like, oh, fuck, we've reached that point.
Well, also, Bart and I didn't grow up in Europe, so we don't have that, I guess.
No, but I mean, you still have the heyday perspective. Yeah.
Call it for an anthem for the Erasmus generation, you know?
Wow.
We make L'Auberge Espanol with this as the theme song.
All right, well, thank you so much again for listening. That's all we have for this week, but it is official. We are officially opening our Star Spangled Jury for the year. That means, of course, that all of you listeners can participate in our rankings for the year. All you have to do is send us your top 10 songs for this year in order. And you can send us that by email to starspangledeurovision@gmail.com or on Twitter. Just DM us at @SSE_pod.
Please don't overthink it, guys. Just 12. Like, just go down the ranking.
Let them just do first, second, third, fourth.
Okay, actually, that's even better than what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Do it however you want. We just want your top 10 songs in the order that you rank them.
I just made it worse.
Actually, could you give a paragraph explaining why you feel the way about each song?
Yeah, and
we might argue with you if you don't make strong enough points.
If we find your 12 not to be Denmark, and if we find it to be disingenuous, we may just disregard it.
No trolls. but yes, please just send us your top 10. We'd love to hear from you and see what your thoughts are this year. And if they match our top 10, which we will reveal on the same day, we'll reveal the jury scores. So thank you so much for listening. And we will see you next week for another episode with four more songs. Till then.
Thank you guys. And thank you, Corinne, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. Woo! Thank you, Corinne.